So one of the things that we love to hear, we love to say, we love to talk about is how much we love the Lord. I love the Lord, one song says, because he heard my cry and pitied every groan. If you're in a building full of believers and you say, how many of you love the Lord? Let me hear you say, yeah. Everybody says, yeah. Raise your hand if you love the Lord. Some folk will raise both hands. But here's one of the things that we have learned as we read the Word of God. Your loving God has to go beyond what you say. Loving God is something that must be shown. Loving God is something that must be evidenced. Loving God is something that must be experienced. And the way we show that we love God, sure enough, is how we show love to others. What's interesting is, for many believers today, because we are so myopic in our view of Christianity, so selfish in our thought process, that somehow God is our cosmic bellhop. He is our concierge. He is responsible to do whatever we ask, whenever we ask it, and give us whatever we want. And if he doesn't, then there must be something wrong with our faith. The truth of the matter is that when we measure our Christian walk with God by how much we get, we fail to understand what God's purpose is for our lives. Prosperity theology is kind of falling apart in recent years. This idea that God has allowed you to come into this world to give you health, wealth, and prosperity. This idea that you can name it, claim it, call it, haul it, blab it, and grab it kind of fell by the wayside during the pandemic. Especially when you had preachers who were professing to be prophets of God, who in January of 2020 said, this is going to be your year of increase and God's going to do great things for you. And when the pandemic came, too many of them had to say, uh-oh, maybe not. Here's what I've learned as I've looked at the Word of God. God is concerned not about the accumulation of wealth of believers, but our attitude towards wealth. It's not how much we get that is the sign that we are truly children of God, but it's how much we learn how to give. Give not just of our finances, of our wealth, of our treasure, but what are we willing to give of our time, our talent, our testimonies, and our temples? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you about a subject that many times we fail to talk about, in part because we don't want to offend somebody or fall into the trap of talking about something that makes people uneasy. See, when you talk about money, and let me be honest with you, man, when you talk about resources, when you talk about finances, when you talk about what you have been blessed with, there are a lot of excuses that people come up with. Let me give you four of them. One is, I don't know how to give the way God wants. I don't know how to give the way God wants. You hear people arguing about whether you should tithe or not tithe, and tithing is not required in the New Testament. And actually, tithing was not required in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, tithing was a principle of giving that preceded the giving of the law to Moses. It went all the way back to Abraham when his name was Abram, right? It's just a concept, an idea. And the truth of the matter is, when we give under grace, grace always requires more than the law requires. Some people don't give because they say, I can't afford to give that much money to the church. Can't afford to give it. I got too many other things going on. Now, it's amazing because here's the truth of the matter. If we're honest with ourselves and we look in the mirror, the truth of the matter is we do a whole lot with what we have that we don't have to do. We just choose to do it. I know some of you don't think you could live without cable. $400 a month bill. You think you can't live without cable. Oh, my God. What am I going to do without cable? But when we had that major blackout and you had to go a week without it, after you got through withdrawal, you was all right. You still survived. You still lived, right? You said, man, I can't do without my coffee. Yeah, $10 a day. Can't do without my special coffee, you know, double pump, double shot, right? And then when you couldn't get it, you had some withdrawals, but you made it all right. Some people don't give because they say, I'm not giving to the church because preachers are hustlers and they take all the money for themselves. How many of y'all heard something like that? Yeah, man, listen, I'm at the gas pump, y'all. I'm getting some gas. And, man, this guy is laying in the preachers. He is castigating. He's eviscerating preachers and pastors. And I'm listening to this brother while I'm getting gas. And I'm like, okay, God, you must have me here for a reason. And I reached out to him and shook his hand. I said, hey, man, how you doing, brother? He shook my hand. I said, I'm Dr. D.Z. Cofield, senior pastor of the Good Old Missionary Baptist Church. He said, I know who you are. I said, oh, Jesus. I said, all right, God, where you want me to go with this? I said, hey, bro, you know what? I was listening to you, man. I couldn't help but overhear what you were saying, and I'd love for us to get together sometime and talk. I'd love to hear your perspective on things and what's happening in the world, what preachers are doing and not doing. We still need to get together. It's not his fault. I've just been so busy, but he's on my calendar, and I've got to give him a call because I want to hear what he has to say. But a whole lot of people think preachers are hustlers and preachers are shucksters and jivers and the like. And then some people say, I'm not giving because I was lied to and burned at my last church. I've been a part of a church like that. I'm not saying the pastor, you know, intentionally lied. I'm just saying, you know, we were given to the building fund for 50 years and nothing ever got built. I'm not saying that the pastor didn't intend to build something. I'm just saying we just never got anything built. I had a lady say to me one time, she said, Pastor, you know what I appreciate about you? We were on a cruise, church cruise. She said, you know what I appreciate about you? Not a member. I said, what's that? She said, what I appreciate about you is I've been observing you, and what you say you're going to do, you do. And I said, what else am I supposed to do? And she said, well, I'll give you an example. You said you was going to build that Family Life Center. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and it's built. And I said, wasn't that what I was supposed to do? Yeah, that was what you were supposed to do. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't happen all the time. People don't always do what they say they're going to do. And I appreciate you because you did what you said you was going to do. Someone this morning needs to realize that what's keeping you from growing closer to God is not how much time you spend in the Word, but how you handle what God has blessed you with. See, you can only go so far, listen carefully, by focusing on giving God your person and not including giving God your possessions. Because the two go together. Let me see if I can give you a real simple illustration. I love you, but I give my money somewhere else. Oh, no, let's get real personal. I give my money to somebody else. I love you. You don't get a present, but I give somebody else a present. I love you. I don't pay for you, but I pay for somebody else. Somebody said it like this: romance without finance will become a nuisance. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So we can measure where your heart is, not by what you say, but where you give, what you really value in life. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to show you love God when you give. How to show you love God when you give. Not how to say you love God, but how to show you love God when you give. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, those of you who are streaming, you can go to goodhope.org or go to our app and download a fill-in-the-blank outline and follow along with us. Three things I want you to see today that I believe will help encourage you and show you how to show love to God in your giving. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize you've been given treasure by God. You need to realize you've been given treasure by God. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, the New Living Translation. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Three times in verses 19 through 21, the word treasure appears. And that word treasure, thesaurus, is the word in the original language, is where we get the word thesaurus from. A thesaurus is literally a treasury of words. And this word is speaking to things of wealth, things of value, things that have value in themselves. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth. Don't store up those things that have value and worth, those things that are assets. Don't store them up and fail to understand why God has blessed you with what he has blessed you with. Now, when we think of things that have value and worth, we typically think of cash, cars, commodities, clothes, creature comforts, We think of those things that are tangible assets. But here's what I believe God wants you to understand. He wants you to realize you have treasure, and when you recognize you have treasure, the question is, what do you do with the treasure that you have? Now, here's the problem with most of us. Most of us may recognize we have treasure, but we all think we need more treasure. Somebody said it like this, more money, more money, more money. We want to have more. Because we don't think we have enough. Here's the problem with that mentality. When you want more and you want more and you want more, you will never think you have enough no matter how much you get. Let me give you a simple example. You remember when you was making $3-4 an hour? And you said to yourself, man, if I just get 50 cents more an hour, I'd be on Easy Street. And man, when they said the wage was going up to $7.25 an hour, because you know it hasn't been like that always. For those of you who are younger, you know, there was a time we worked for $2-3 an hour. It wasn't slavery either, right? And when somebody says $7.25, you go, what? $7.25 an hour? Woo! Man, I'm getting ready to hit, man, listen, we in the money. That 50 cents more an hour, that dollar more an hour, or even now on your job, you're like, man, can I get a raise? And they say, hey, here's another dollar an hour. And you're like, yes. But every time you've gotten more, it hasn't made a marginal difference. Because even though you changed how much you got, you didn't change how much you spent. And if you did, you ended up spending more and not less. So there's a couple things I want you to realize around this idea that you've been given treasure by God. Look at A. Realize everything you have has been given to you by God. Everything you have has been given to you by God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 17, the ETRV version of the Bible. Let's read it together. Don't ever say to yourself, I got all this wealth by my own power and ability. Remember, the Lord your God is the one who gives you power to do these things. He does this because he wants to keep the agreement that he made with your ancestors, as he is doing today. You sound real good. Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 29 together. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We used to sing an offertory song in the church years ago, and it went something like this: all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. That was a ye old English way of saying everything we have came from you, and we only give back to you out of what you have given to us. Here's the problem with the theology of many people. Many people say, God, if you give to me, I will give to you. And God says, wait a minute, I've already given to you. That's how you got what you got. So don't ask me to give more when you haven't done right by what you have. Look at B. Realize everything you have still belongs to God. Everything you have still belongs to God. Haggai 2:8 says, all their silver really belongs to me. This is God speaking. And all the gold is mine. This is what the Lord all-powerful said. See, here's the mistake that we make. When we come to the time of giving and we worship the Lord in giving, we think we're giving God out of our money, when in actuality, we're just giving him back out of what he has blessed us with. And it's amazing, even those who practice the principle of tithing. Here's the bad theology that we have, and we've been taught by many pastors. We've been taught that 10% belongs to the Lord. 10% belongs to the Lord, and so I've got to give the Lord 10%. I owe 10% to the Lord, and then I can give an offering above that. And the bad theology is 10% doesn't belong to the Lord. It all belongs to the Lord. It's amazing what we think we're allowed to do once we give 10%. Fellow won the lottery and said he was going to give 10% to God. He was a good Christian. He was going to give 10% to the Lord. And so he broke off a piece to give to charities and give to people, give to his church. And then he turned around and started a family foundation. 10% he was going to give to the Lord. Then he took the 90% and did whatever he wanted to do. Drinking, drugs, strip clubs. Reportedly, he got robbed. His car got broken into at a strip club, and he had $545,000 in the trunk of his car. But he did what he wanted to do, what he said. He gave 10% to the Lord. How many of you know God is concerned not just with 10, but what you do with the 90 as well? See, you and I are stewards, and we are accountable to God. And listen, when I say you are accountable for what you do with your time, your talent, your treasure, your temple, and your testimony, what I'm basically saying to you is God does not separate your possessions from your person. God is concerned about all that you have. Matter of fact, let me put a quarter in meat and park right there for a second. Here's one of the things that I've learned about giving. I have never met a person who made a commitment to give in the way they believe God has commanded them to give and not seen that person grow spiritually. You know why? Because when you give your possessions the way God wants you to give, your person follows behind. When you start saying yes to God in this area, you automatically start saying no in some other areas. If you start saying yes to God and I'm going to start living right, guess what? Wrong living loses its funding. Because I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to live right to the glory of God. Hosea chapter 2, verse 8, she doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal. This is God talking about a chastised Israel who was given everything by God, but everything that they got, they gave to another god. And so the question that we may need to ask is, what are you or who are you giving to that is counter to the one who has given so much to you? Here's the second thing. Number two, you must choose to invest your treasure wisely. You must choose to invest your treasure wisely. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Listen carefully. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. This idea of storing up, this idea of amassing, this idea of keeping in storage or heaping up, the Lord says, don't store up treasures here on earth. Learn where you need to make an investment of what God has blessed you with. How many of us, if we could go back 30 years, would buy stock in Amazon? Right? All of us. Man, buy some stock in Amazon? Oh, man, absolutely. Jeff Bezos would be my best friend. He'd be like, man, you really believe in me. Oh, absolutely. I can see this thing coming to pass, right? God says there's a greater investment that you can make. Not in time, but in eternity. So he says, where you invest your things, you value the most. And Jesus, here's what he wants you and I to understand. Write this down somewhere. You think you're spending your money when in actuality you're investing your money. Everything you spend money on is not a purchase, it's an investment. So the question is, what are you investing in? And what are the dividends from the investment that you've made? What happens to your treasure depends on where you invest it. And so Jesus says, hey, be careful. You don't want to invest your treasure where moth can eat it, rust can destroy it, or people can steal it. There's really nothing on earth that is not affected by one of those three things or can be touched by one of those three things. Moth can eat it, rust can destroy it, or people can steal it. And he says, you don't want to invest in any of those things. So there's a booming market in our society for storage units, right? And as soon as people figure out that they are paying to store stuff that outside of maybe some really, really expensive antiques, they are spending more to store it than it would cost for them to buy it and replace it. But we're storing stuff. And a lot of people had this stuff damaged because they paid for storage, but it wasn't climate controlled. Right? So people were putting all kinds of stuff in storage and then coming back and the stuff was ruined. Moth got it, rust got it, or thieves got it. And so they created new security measures. And then they said, this storage is climate controlled. So it maintains a temperature so you can put some stuff in there and it not disintegrate over time. Here's what God says. Don't worry about putting stuff in a place where it's climate controlled. Put it someplace where it's Christ controlled. Make sure your giving is Christ controlled. James chapter 5, verse 1. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are like moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. Can you imagine your treasures being called to the witness stand to testify either against you or in favor of you regarding how you use what God has blessed you with? What will your treasure say? Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Yes, a person is a fool, the New Living Translation says, to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. So Jesus is not saying stop acquiring wealth. He's just saying what you're going to do with it when you get it. Because listen carefully, there's never been a hearse with a U-Haul attached behind it. When you gone, you gone. Just talking to one of our members who had a friend pass, and the family is already rummaging through the person's house. Body's not even cold yet, trying to claim stuff that they wanted all the time. And I told them, I said, now listen, one of the lessons I've learned is whatever you want people to have, you better give it to them while they're alive. Because all bets are off when you're gone and a person has access to your property, access to your house, that you don't want to have access to it. Look at Luke 12, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. Somebody said, why does that store up treasure in heaven? Because think about what's going to make it to heaven. Stuff is not going to make it to heaven. What's going to make it to heaven are people. The souls of people are going to make it. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to make it. Everything else you're going to leave behind. Somebody had it before you got it, and somebody's going to have it after you get through with it. Here's the last and final thing. Number three, you need to realize the placement of your treasure indicates the passion of your heart. The placement of your treasure indicates the passion of your heart. Verse 21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You've heard people say money is the root of all evil. That's not true. Money is amoral. Money is an instrument. Money is a tool. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is just money. It's a true tool. It's a commodity. It's something that you use, hopefully, to do what God has called you to do. But money in it of itself should never be the goal of your living. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The moral state of your heart and your spiritual condition is revealed in how you handle the treasure God has blessed you with. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, wherever it is, that reveals the desires of your heart. Where's your treasure? That's your heart. Chief organ of physical life is the heart. It's interesting when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the center of our being, right? But it uses that Greek word cardia, where we get cardiac and cardiology, right? It refers to the heart. It's using the human organ of the heart to teach us the lesson of the importance of what we value. Now, here's what's interesting. When you go to the doctor, one of the things that they'll do when they're examining you is pull out a stethoscope and check your lungs and check your heart. They want to see how your heart is beating. They want to check your blood pressure, right? They want to check your heart. Here's what God says. When I want to check your heart, God says, I don't put a stethoscope on your heart. I put a stethoscope on your wallet or on your purse. God says, that's how I find out the condition of your heart spiritually. Because the Lord says your heart may be right physically, but if I want to see how your heart is functioning spiritually, I got to put a stethoscope on your wallet, on your checkbook, on your purse, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. There was a prayer set to music some years ago by the legendary songwriter Margaret DeRoe. The title of that song was Give Me a Clean Heart. Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, with my heart, fix my heart so that I can be used by you. I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Lord, give me a clean heart so I may serve you. But I want to challenge you today to change that prayer set to song. I want us to leave here today not praying, Lord, give me a clean heart, but asking God, give me a giving heart that I may serve you. A giving heart of my time, my talent, my treasure, my temple, and my testimony. So that I can experience the true blessings that Jesus says come from giving, when he says it's more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. And when you learn how to give, you learn how to live like God. And you learn how to be a blessing to somebody else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you today. And we pray now that our giving would truly be an act of worship. I pray, God, that somebody was challenged today to put more thought and prayer into how they worship you in their giving, that they don't see giving as a last-minute, spontaneous grabbing of crumpled-up dollars or giving of a gift online that matters little. But God, I pray that they would give in a way that truly reflects their love for you and their love for what you love. May we give and recognize that our giving is an act of worship, and that our giving as an act of worship becomes a tool by which we can help people who need you to know you and help people who know you to grow in you. We bless you now and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.